we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. We trust that you are having a great day. I hope that yesterday's program left you walking in victory throughout the day as God left you or led you in triumphal procession. So I'm really looking forward to that day where he says, boys and girls, men and women of all ages, let me show you what I've been working on to prepare for you. Won't that be a great day? I'm looking forward to eternity with Jesus. So we want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast today. We're going to be in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Do want to remind you, our youth services, Powerhouse Youth will be meeting tomorrow night, Friday night, at 6:30, I believe it is. You can check our website, merrittassembly.com, 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 and you can get more details there. Today, I want to talk to you about your journey. I want to talk to you about the journey of your life. We're going to be back in Isaiah today. We're not going to be touching on verse 5. We're going to move on to verse number 6 because each one of us was created by God on purpose for a purpose that he had in mind for us before the foundation of the world. That's what the Word of God says. You are here for more than just the mundane task of getting up and going to work and eating breakfast, eating lunch, eating dinner, mowing the grass, taking a shower, going to bed, getting up the next day and doing it all over again. You're meant for more than that. God has a divine, redemptive, supernatural purpose for you. He has that for me. And does it mean that everybody's going to be a pastor, everybody's going to be a preacher? No. You get to touch people that I don't get to touch. I was reading an email a week or so ago, an email that someone had sent out, someone from our church, and that email goes to people that I don't reach. But when I read the email, they had a line in there that had come directly from a sermon that I had just preached. It's like, praise God, that whatever took place inside of our church. By the way, I do want to tell you, if you'd like to see a little bit about what some of our sermons are like or what some of our ministry is like, you can go to Facebook and like our page, Merritt Assembly of God, and just about every week there are some video clips of what is going on in our services. And so if that would be something that would bless you, it'll give you an idea of what I look like. And that way you can run. No. That way you can see what I look like, and you can get a little bit of an idea of what our services are like. They're not completely streamed. They're little tidbits, little snippets from our sermon that my daughter, she takes and she puts together on Facebook there. So, but I want to talk to you about your journey. You know, my wife and I, for the first 20-some years of our life, because our families were so far away from us, neither one of us are from Florida. My job as a shoe salesman brought me here. I was working in Texas. I got transferred here because the company needed me to come and run a store. A year and a half later, they went out of business. And then here we are, 1,150 and 1,250 miles away from our respective sets of parents. We have no relatives down here. All we had was our church family. And then we were, you know, stuck. Where do we go from here? What does God have for us? And God continued to open doors, and eventually he placed us at Merit Assembly of God. But for the bulk of the time that my kids were growing up, every vacation was spent either going to see my wife's parents or my parents. And most of the time, because there were five of us, there was a lot of expense involved in flying. So most of the travel was done by car. I've got a mindset. I've got 9 days to get up there, get, you know, a few days with the family and get back. And it's a 2-day trip each way there. It's 2-day trip there, 2-day trip home. So if we need to really make the most out of our time, and so that we can spend as much time as possible with the family. Well, that involves a lot of driving. 1,150 and 1,250 miles, depending upon which one we were going to see. That's over 20 hours and somewhere around 22 hours, depending upon which one we were going to see. You can't hardly drive all of that by yourself in an alert condition that would make you a really good driver. And so those journeys we'd go on, and my wife had a mindset that, you know, she wanted to enjoy the journey. And so if we stopped, you know, there should be some shopping involved, not drastic shopping, not hitting the malls or anything. Let's just take some time to look around. And she had a journey mindset, and I had a destination mindset. There are so many of us Christians that we fall into those two camps, if you will, that we are so looking forward to the destination of heaven that we miss out on the joy of the journey. And then there are other people who are so focused on enjoying the journey that they fail to realize there is a destination, but it is not just for us. It is for all of those people that we are supposed to touch as well. So I want to talk to you today about that journey. I'm trying to get better about enjoying the journey. I'm trying to live in less than a compressed lifestyle. I want to create more margin in my life where I work smarter, not harder. I work with greater joy rather than just with greater responsibility. Verse number 6, remember, this is a messianic prophecy about Jesus, but it gives us an image of what it is supposed to look like in our life because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Okay? The Father wants to operate in our life in the same manner in which he operated in Jesus' life. So in verse number 6, it says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. You are hearing this message today because God wants you to hear the word of God. He wants to empower you. He wants all of us called in righteousness. Now, there is a wonderful truth in God's word. It's called the grace of God. Thank God for his unmerited favor. Thank God for his mercy that even though I blew it on numbers of occasions, hundreds of occasions, his mercy was brand new every morning, and he wants to forgive us of our sins. But the grace of God is the favor of God that empowers us to live a life in victory, where mercy is, I did not get the things that I did deserve. Grace is, I got the things that I didn't deserve. I don't deserve to be empowered. I don't deserve to be utilized the way that God has utilized me. But thankfully, by the grace of God, I have been. But there are some people who have distorted the grace of God into a different concept altogether, and that is that God is so gracious to me that I no longer have any personal responsibility. I can do whatever I want to, and it is not going to affect the favor that I have in my life. I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 6, and it says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand, I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness in the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name and my glory. I will not give to another. When God calls you, part of that call is that there is righteousness. There is righteousness. He wants you and I to live differently. We are to live as a distinct, sanctified, that means separated unto the purpose that God has called me for. There may be ladies out there who are listening today who are have perhaps experienced some of the frustration that my wife has experienced, and that is she's experienced with me. You see, we have these towels that whenever company comes over, those towels get brought out. They are the guest towels. They are the towels that look pretty, but you're not supposed to use. Okay. Now for me, a towel is a tool of function. I am a person that works on function first and beauty second. That's the way that I operate. And my wife's giftings are slightly different. And so there have been more than one occasion where I was in desperate need of a towel for whatever it was that I was working on or cleaning up. And the first and most convenient towel I could find was the guest towel. And guess what happened when I used the guest towel is it got reduced in quality, shall we say, and it was no longer useful for the purpose that my wife had it in the first place. And so she said, well, now we're going to have to go get different guest towels because those towels are stained, they're ruined. I have some shirts that I've really liked, and I don't know how I do it, but somehow, in spite of my best efforts, many times I end up dropping something, either a drop of hot sauce or something like that will come shooting out or erupting out of the top of a taco that I might be eating, and it lands right on my shirt. And in spite of my best efforts to remove some of those stains, they don't come out sufficiently. And then I've got a shirt that is one of my favorite shirts, but it's got this stain right in the big middle of it that even though I've washed it and spray and washed it and all of that sort of stuff, it doesn't come out. It is no longer the trophy shirt. It's no longer the shirt that I wear when I'm going out to put on my best representation. It's now a lawn working shirt. I don't know if you're like me that you got more shirts for doing yard work than otherwise, but it can happen. God's called you in righteousness. Sin stains us. Sin degrades our character. You are meant for more than that. You are not meant to be using, as a child of God, your instruments, your body parts. You're not supposed to be using the gifts of God as tools for unrighteousness, but as ministers of righteousness. God says, I have called you. I want you to understand, Jesus was called to live a righteous and holy life. And many people say, Jesus did that because I never could. Yes, that is true. But he also did that to demonstrate as an example to you and I how we are supposed to live. And he sent the Holy Spirit to empower us so that we could live righteous and holy life. Now, I want to ask you this. Do you know of people who have lived righteous lives? I'm not talking about Jesus. I'm talking about living, breathing human beings that you have come in contact with in your sphere of influence. I'm not talking about pastors. I'm talking about average people that you run into in the church, in the community, and you know from the way that you talk with them and the way that you interact with them, those people know their God. They live in a manner that is pleasing to him. How many of you know people like that? God intends for us to be, all of us to be that way. He doesn't want us going out and having fits of rage and all of that sort of stuff. He wants us to live as instruments of righteousness. He says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. You are not making this journey alone. When we used to make those long road trips as a family and the kids were young, this was back before portable DVD players or tablets and iPads and all of that sort of stuff where people could watch what they wanted to watch and you could travel for hours. This was back in the day where, I mean, okay, let's play the license tag game, you know, where everybody play the alphabet game and try and find all of the letters on license plates. There was all sorts of things that were going on. Well, when I was driving, everybody would sleep. And so there I am, and I literally felt like I was driving alone. I would want to turn on the radio, and they'd say, we're sleeping, turn off the radio. And so I'd have to turn off the radio. And so there I am, and I would feel like I was journeying all by myself. You might be listening today, and you feel like you are on your life's journey all by yourself. I want to let you know today that nothing could be further from the truth. Even if you do not see anyone else, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, that you are not on that journey alone. You have Jesus right there with you. And he is not only making that journey with you, he is doing so, holding your hand. My kids make fun of my wife and I. It's okay. We're very secure in it. But it is one of these things that when we walk, we have developed a manner in which we walk, in which we hold hands. Now, it's always in the same position. It's always my left hand holding her right hand. We've tried it. We've just done this so long that nothing else feels quite right. And we have our own unique grip that when we're holding our hands and walking, and, you know, we just tell our kids, hey, you know, when you'll develop the way that you walk hand in hand too. God is walking hand in hand with you. And I want you to know that that is not me encompassing God's hand. It is God's hand encompassing mine. It's God's hand encompassing yours. As I was walking through a parking lot here last week, there was a little girl, and she was excited. I'm little, like 3-4 years old. It was during school, so I'm assuming she was beneath 5. And her mother said, come back here and hold my hand. We're in a parking lot. We're in a place where there are cars moving back and forth. This is a dangerous place. If you aren't paying attention, the best thing for you to do is for you to hold my hand. And you know what she was doing with, as she was dealing with that child, she was also tending to another child. The great thing about God is he's not just focusing on walking with me today. He's focusing on walking with you. He's got you. He's got you. You are not alone. How do I want to say this? We have never been more socially connected, virtually connected, in all of history. The internet can now take whatever you're experiencing and transmit it across the globe. Everybody can know about it. And yet at the same point in time, there are more people feeling isolated and alone with no real substantive friends than right now. Today, I pray that God gives you a little squeeze. You know that squeeze when you're praying in church and the pastor said, why don't we just hold hands here? And you said amen, and you just get that little squeeze there to say, okay, we're done here, amen. But I pray that God gives you one of those little squeezes today to let you know, hey, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. I'm in this with you. He goes on and he says, I will keep you. I will keep you. God is there to protect you. He is there to preserve you. He is not going to abandon you. You are not left to your own defenses. He is your shield, your fortress, your sanctuary, your protection. He also goes on and says to Jesus, I will give you as a covenant to the people. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross was not just a historical act. It was a transition and covenant. That's why the New Testament is also known as the New Covenant. There was the Old Covenant, and then there was the New Covenant. He didn't come to abolish the Old Covenant. He came to fulfill it and establish a New Covenant where you and I walk in the grace of God. It wasn't just a covenant for a select group of people. It was a covenant that was available for people all across the globe. And God said to Jesus, I'm going to give you as a covenant to the people. Do you know that God gave me as a covenant gift to my wife? He gave my wife as a covenant gift to me. I have the mindset that I am walking in covenant relationship with the people at Merit Assembly of God. Okay? And I will tell you that there have been a lot of people that have come and gone through the years. I like it when God says, you know what? I have brought these people here. You can walk in covenant relationship with them. That's what church membership is about. Does church membership get you into heaven? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can belong to a church as a member, sin like the devil, and not live up to any of those fulfillments at all. At Merit Assembly of God, membership says we are going to walk in covenant together to accomplish what God has set out for us, both locally, nationally, and globally. That's what we're about, restoring value. And so God says, I'm going to give you as a covenant to the people. I don't really want to spend too much time here on this, so let me just tell you what that covenant gift would do. It says, as a light to the Gentiles. He was going to give hope to people. He was going to brighten up their world. I pray that when you come into work today, that you brighten somebody's day, that you come and you bring a smile, you bring hope, you bring joy, you bring a cupcake. No, I'm kidding. You know, unless you want to bring a cupcake, you bring something that when you show up, people know, hey, they've brought something to the table. This table, this company is better today because they are here than it was before they got there. And Jesus, because he was God's covenant gift, all of a sudden, not only the Jewish people have hope, but Gentiles saw light. You know, you can. The other day I was driving home from the radio station, and I looked down the railroad tracks. I crossed the railroad tracks as I'm on my way back to the church, and I could see a light that I could tell from quite a ways away, a mile or two down the tracks, that there was a train that was coming. A light on that train says, look, I might not be there yet, but I'm coming. And today, if you are in a situation where you've got unsaved loved ones, I want you to know that Jesus came as a light to say, I may not have saved them yet, but their salvation is coming. I'm here to bring you hope today and build your faith. Don't you quit praying for them. Don't you quit believing on them. Don't you write them off, because I've seen it too many times where God redeems the lost. He came to open blind eyes. God wants to give you vision. When Jesus came, he came to open the sight or open the eyes of the blind. A year and a half ago, when I had that retina detachment surgery, and you realize that you could lose the vision, even partial vision, in one eye, it's a very sobering reality. It affects a lot of the things that you do. And so Jesus came and he said, I'm going to give you vision. He says, the situation that you're facing right now, it's not going to remain permanent. Today you might have resigned yourself. Look, I'm always going to be in debt. No, you're not. God's going to give you a vision of how to become debt-free. I'm never going to amount to anything. Yes, you are. God's going to give you a purpose and a plan. I'm never going to get married. Yes, you are. God's got a purpose and a person and a plan. You just need to wait for his perfect timing to bring out prisoners from the prison. God is very much a liberating God. Now, if you have done a crime, you get sentenced to a certain amount of incarceration. Okay, that's the way it is. But in this day and time, you could go to jail for a debt that you owed. If you owed money, they would come and they would throw you into debtor's prison. The only way that you could experience liberty at that point in time is if somebody paid your debt for you. And Jesus came to do just that. He paid off my debt. He paid off your debt. The cost of our sin, the price of our rebellion, he paid that personally, so that you and I could experience the freedom. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm a stickler. I'm very much a stickler, and that is this. If I purchase something, I want the receipt in my hand so that when I walk out the door, nobody says to me, "You didn't pay for that." And today, don't you stay in prison when you have received a decree from the throne room of heaven that says Jesus paid it all. You know, every month I look at the balance on my mortgage, and I see it going down and down and down every month. I am so looking forward. In fact, a friend of mine, their church just this last week, they got to celebrate a mortgage burning ceremony. That guess what? Next month they're not sending that check in because it's already been paid. If you've had a car that you paid on and you paid it off, or a loan that you paid off, you didn't continue to send the money. It was paid off. It was now yours, and they send you a lien release, and it says you now own this property free and clear. Isn't that a glorious, glorious thought? Today, I want you to know that God does have a destination for us. It's where he is. That's where he wants us to be with him for all of eternity. But he also wants you to know that he is calling you in righteousness. It matters how we live. He is calling us to a journey together with him, not independent of him. He wants us to know he's holding our hand. He will protect us. He will make us. He wants us to walk in covenant, not just in convenience with one another. And he wants to give us hope. He wants to give us vision. And he wants to give us liberty. That's a great way to spend a Thursday. I can't wait to see what tomorrow holds. God bless you. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
true.